So let's turn to 1 Peter then and the first chapter. And this morning we were looking at verse 6. So tonight we come to verse 7. So 1 Peter 1. Let's read both verse 6 and verse 7. So verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, let's do what we always do then. Let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord, we thank you that we are again able to listen to the word of God. And we thank you that we can do so Sunday after Sunday. Lord, we thank you that though we read it ourselves during the week, Lord, there is a depth and an understanding that is brought about when your word is brought to us in this way that we don't find anywhere else. And Lord, we believe that is because you have told us that when we come together, your word is to be preached. And that, Lord, our God, it's in the preaching of your word that your spirit ministers to us. Lord, we may not be always ready to hear for all sorts of reasons. But, Lord, here we are then. We are the people that you want to be present here this evening. Lord, we are the ones that in your providence you have brought so that we might hear this word. And so we ask our God, in the light of that, that you would bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So then, our theme, everyone knows our theme, it's from stress through to hope. And in verse 7, we've got the first mention of faith. We've not talked about faith before, and in a sense that's been deliberate, because I think if any subject is confusing to us, it's the subject of faith. I don't know how many times over the years, when somebody's been having a tough time, someone else has said to them, have faith. Or there's variations on that, isn't there? People will say, where's your faith? People will say, show your faith, demonstrate your faith, where's your trust? And so because we get it wrong so often, I've taken a long time before coming to the subject of faith when we are dealing with stress. I don't know if you've noticed, but what we've stressed so far isn't faith, but knowledge. Knowledge of who God is, knowledge of how God works, knowledge of God as the one who's in control, as the one who allows certain stresses and then stops other stresses from coming our way. We've tried to build up our knowledge that whatever stress we go through, the resources of God are always available to us. He gives us that way of escape so that we can manage and persevere in our Christian lives. So perhaps you've not noticed before, but you will tonight. It's knowledge that we've emphasized in our experience of stress. Knowledge of God. So the most important thing when you're under stress is your knowledge of God. And then what we've stressed, if I can say that, is we need knowledge of how God works. So God is at work in and through the experience of stress. God works so that we persevere. We'll see next Sunday that God works so that our character is built up. And then finally, God works so that we get to hope. So we get to hope from the starting point of stress. Now, I'm taking a bit of a risk tonight then, because we are looking for the first time at faith. And the way faith works in the experience of stress. Now, most of you know my views on preaching. I think my views on preaching are the Bible's views. that preaching is foolish. Preaching is a very poor way of communicating. But it's deliberately chosen by God so that if it's ever effective, then that can only be down to God. So what I'm hoping God will do is show us that we are to have the right view of faith. So what that means to begin with, I hope none of you go away from here and ever, ever, ever again say, when under stress, where's my faith? Or say to anyone else under stress, where's your faith? Because that's not how it works. Now, I really hope this, because one of the things that causes most distress to somebody having a hard time is the thought that their faith isn't working properly. That only if their faith was better, they wouldn't feel so bad. That if their faith was stronger, they would be bearing up a bit better. That if their faith was stronger, they might be a little less stressed in what they're going through. So for all sorts of reasons, we've got it wrong, and we think that faith is this answer to stress. And that if it was there, then we wouldn't be stressed. And if we lived by it, we wouldn't feel stress. And if we could practice it, then we wouldn't know stress. Now, I'm sure you would search your own hearts and recognize that you yourself have questioned yourself when under pressure. Where's my faith? And you've also said it to others when they've come alongside you and started opening up to you and sharing their concerns. You have said, haven't you, where's your faith, to some brother or sister? So if nothing else, let's leave tonight with the right understanding of where faith fits in the experience of tribulation. Now, Peter is telling us very clearly, isn't he? Look at verse 6 again. In this you greatly rejoice. So that's what we looked at this morning. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So there's Peter talking about multicolored trials. And he tells us what the purpose of trials are in the experience of faith. So does he say, look, trials are your opportunity to show faith? Does he say that? And the answer is no. He doesn't say that trials are the times when, if only you have enough faith, those trials will go away. Does he say that? And the answer is no. So why on earth we do, I can't imagine. What does he tell you? Look at the verse. Look at verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, and then he's got lots of sub-clauses, being more precious than gold that perishes, even though it is tested by fire, may be found. Now, cut out the middle bit. Trials are so the genuineness of your faith may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So faith, where does faith fit in the experience of stress? Well, go back to this morning, and I don't know if any of you can think back to what we said, but I told you what genuineness doesn't mean. God isn't testing you in a trial to see whether your faith is real. That's not what God is doing. So can you see we've ruled out two things? The first thing is, in my trial, I've got to show faith. And if I can show faith, then it'll all be wonderful. Let's rule that out. And the second thing we're ruling out is this idea that I'm being tested to see whether my faith holds up, whether my faith proves genuine. That's not what Peter is telling you. Peter isn't using the language of doubt that the genuineness of your faith, perhaps, maybe, he's not using that language. Peter is using the language of certainty. So take a look again, and as I say, rule out those clauses now about preciousness and gold, and put the two bits of the verse together. That the genuineness of your faith may be found. Now, this word may doesn't mean doubt. It means will be found, shall be found, shown to be. That's what Peter is saying. So trials show the genuineness of your faith, which will then be seen on this great day. So you may have followed me so far or not, so I'm going to put it in a sentence. Okay, so let's take a moment. Let's gather our thoughts. And here's what Peter is saying. Trials are the moments when the reality of your faith will be seen. Trials are those moments when what is genuinely there will come to be seen. That's what Peter is telling you. That under a trial, the real faith that you've got will be evident. No doubt here, because I can even feel as I'm saying it, that you're still thinking about doubt. It's not about doubt, it's about certainty. Trials are these God-given moments when the reality of faith is on display. That's what Peter is telling you. Now, I don't know if you've understood me, and if you haven't, ask me. And if in the weeks to come I hear any of you saying, I'm going through a tough time and I'm having trouble, I'll say to you, remember what Peter says. You're not being tested. And you're not meant to have some great act of trust that'll make it all go away. What he's saying is, your faith is genuinely there. Your faith is there all along. Your faith has been there from the beginning. Your faith has been given to you by God. It's a gift of God. And when you're in a trial, that genuine faith rises to the surface. And it's to be seen. That is what Peter is telling you. Trials, and again, you see, the trouble is language. Whatever word I'm trying to find, it's open to misinterpretation. So I want to use the word prove. But all of you are going to mishear me. Trials prove your faith, but it's proof of your faith. Your faith comes out in a trial. Your faith is there, seen in a trial. It's a hopeless task, isn't it, to try and make this emphasis to you, because I get the sense in which I'm trying to undo many years of unhelpful thoughts. So let's try it from another angle. Tomorrow in prayer meeting, we look at the themes in 1 Peter. And you may have noticed, as we've read through the chapter, he's got this theme of what is precious. He loves the word, and he says it many times in his letter. And according to Peter, there's a hierarchy, a list, a top 10 of things that are precious. And the top of his precious list is the blood of Christ. Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. That's the most precious thing. The innocent blood of Christ shed for sinners. But you know what's number two on his list? And it's here in our verse. The most second important thing is your faith. Whatever else you possess, your faith is your most precious possession. So whatever gold you might have, whatever jewels, whatever fancy clothes, all of these are insignificant compared to your faith. So number one is Christ, number two is your faith, and then down the list goes. And he'll talk about gold coins, and he'll talk about gold mined and tested in the fire, and he'll talk about pearls, and he'll talk about clothing. But right up there is Christ, and you are next with your faith. That's what Peter is concerned about in this first letter. And then he'll talk about that which lasts and that which doesn't last. It's the word of God that will last. It's the blood of Christ that will last. It's your inheritance that will last, reserved for you, incorruptible and undefiled. He'll talk about the fact that you have been born of an incorruptible word of God, and that what you have in Christ will outlast anything else that you might think of. And in fact, when Peter here in verse 7 talks about the preciousness of your faith, is it a surprise for me to say to you that he may well be thinking back to an event in the life of Jesus? It's a rule, isn't it? Whenever you read Peter, try and find a connection to some event or some part of the gospel story. Because Peter, he's very different to Paul. Peter likes practical conversation. He likes to learn from experience. And in verse 7, he may well be doing something similar. So think of an occasion in the ministry of Jesus where someone showed faith by using something precious. And the same idea may well be here in verse 7. The same word is definitely here in verse 7. So, the most precious thing about you, the most wonderful thing about us, is the faith that God has given to us. Now, what Peter now does is this. He says trials are the opportunity to shine a light on the faith that is already there. So I'm going to steal from John. And you may remember, you may not, at the start of the year, we were looking at 1 John and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, John talks about the love of God. And he uses a phrase, doesn't he? He says, the best light that you can shine on the love of God is he loved you when you were a sinner. Now, does anybody remember how we illustrated that point when we went back to 1 John 4? Anyone? Do you remember I told you, and I don't like telling you about myself and where I go and all this sort of thing. Some preachers seem to love it. I really don't. But I told you, didn't I, of a trip Tracy and I made to Rome. And we went to see the Forum, those ancient ruins right there in the heart of the city. And you can either walk amongst them, so you go down the hill and you pay the usual price, and then you're walking around the ruins and you're there right in the midst of it all. Or you go right up the top, right up to the main road, and then where the modern road is, and you walk along, and then there's this great viewing platform. And you can go there And it's quite a large area, and you go out onto the viewing platform and you look down over ancient Rome. And you see the temples and the pillars and the shrines. And there you are at a high vantage, looking down and seeing the whole thing. Now, when we were there, we were told this. You get the best view from this high vantage point. And someone actually said to us that this view is known to have some of the best light in the entire world. The sun shines in such a way that the light is so clear that you get this fantastic panorama of the ancient city. Now, the best light for seeing Rome, the ancient Rome, is from this viewing point. The best light to see the love of God is in the fact he loved you as a sinner. And here Peter is saying something very similar. The best light we can shine on our faith are trials. Because trials show up the faith that is already there. Trials shine a light on a person's faith. And they show the faith that might have been hidden or in shadow when your life is going well. Now, do you get the idea then? This is what trials do. That the genuineness of your faith may be seen. That's Peter's great argument. So I want to sum it up like this. You know you have faith when the trial comes. Put it the other way around. The trial is to tell you, to show you that your faith is real. Look at the end of verse 7. So start with the opening phrase, that the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to say three things here. It's always three. So take a deep breath and here we go. Trials reveal your faith. They show it up. They put the light on, lighting up the fact that you've got faith. And so at the end of verse 7, you see the word found. It just means to be revealed or shown or lit up. Firstly, trials show to you that you've got a genuine faith. Now, can I just be sensitive for a minute? And we've done this series on stress at, I think, the most stressful time that I've been with you for. Many of you have had the most awful experiences, and some of you are still struggling with these terrible events that have happened to you in recent months. But look at this. Where are you tonight? You're in church. And you're in church, even the most awful, heartbreaking things have happened to you. And why are you still here? Because your faith is genuine. You're being shown by God that even when the worst of things happen, your faith is still there. Your faith is there in all its glory and all its beauty. Can you see how this works? You're not out tonight, are you? Drowning your sorrows in a pub somewhere. You're not in your house or wherever it is other people are. You're here. And yet you've gone through these terrible experiences. Trials show to you, they show to me in my life, that in spite of it all, our faith is genuine. And that's what trials are designed to do, in a sense. Trials also show to others that our faith is genuine. We are not good time Christians, are we? We are not people who turn up as long as God is up there dispensing his favours to us. We are not people who come every Sunday as long as everything goes well. And then the minute something goes wrong, we wash our hands and we say, right then, let God have it then. If he's not going to bless me, if he's not going to look after me, then he can go and I'll walk away. A trial shows to others that your faith is genuine. So how many times have people said to you, and it's very painful to hear, somebody in your family say to you, how can you still believe when this terrible thing has happened? How can you still pray? And you're still going to church, even though your heart is broken? These trials can show others the genuineness, the gold-like quality of your faith. We are not in it for what we get out of it. We are not in it in some sort of superstitious way so that we then get the favours of the gods to bless us in life. When something happens and this faith that is more wonderful than gold is there to be seen, others see it and others are amazed by it. And you are showing your faith, the genuine faith that you have, even to others. Now, I really want to be careful here. And I want you to remember that your faith is genuine even when your heart is breaking. You can have genuine faith and be terribly anxious. This genuine faith is there when your life is falling apart, when you're angry and disappointed and upset and hurt and grieving. All of these things are there, and there sits your genuine faith right in the middle of it all. This genuine faith, and the light is being shined on the genuine faith by all the trials themselves that you experience. I really do hope we're getting some sense of what Peter means here. Because we're about to say the most wonderful thing of all. Are you ready for it? Look at the end of verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the most wonderful thing, and I hope we get some sense of it tonight. So let's use our imaginations. Let's imagine the day of Jesus Christ, that future day when Jesus comes a second time. Now, Abraham this morning was looking forward to the first day, and we look forward to the second day, the last day, when Jesus comes. Now, I want you to imagine that day. So Christ in all his glory is there. And all before him stands human beings. Now, you can't imagine it, can you? But do your best. So Christ in his majesty is surrounded by the whole weight of humanity. And in a way that we don't understand, what will happen on that day is this. One of you, a Christian, is brought out and there stands before Jesus Christ. And we don't know which voice, but a voice will be heard saying, look at her. Look at all she went through. All that happened to her throughout her life. Look at all her heartbreak, and all her grief, look at her. And this voice will say, through it all, what shone? Her faith. And that revelation of faith on that last day will be then to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, can you see? It's not wrong for me, is it, to work this out a bit more. So I want you to put yourself in that scene. So you're a Christian. So put yourself center stage. Jesus Christ in his glory. And you stand there. And you're not there for your sins to be pointed out. And you're not there to be accused. You're not there to be put to shame. You stand there, and the words will be said, look at him, look at her, and all that you went through. So think of what you're going through. Think of what's happened to you. Think of the situations you're still in and the things you don't understand. Think of it all. And this will be, in a way, if you like, pointed out. And then the voice will be heard. Through it all, his faith was seen to be genuine. Not because now we are doing something, but the genuine faith was given to us. And it shone through in all those moments of trial. And when that's said about you, this huge, vast, numberless congregation will sing the praises of Jesus Christ on account of you. Your faith shining through your life as a Christian will redound to the praise and the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. And we can even say it like this. We are still here, aren't we? The trials of our congregation. In a sense, we've been decimated as a congregation in recent months through illness, personal problems, people drifting away. It's a very sudden thing that's happened to us as a congregation. It's just really a matter of weeks. And we've been reduced. Now, this trial as a congregation is going to shine the light on our faith. And if you like, let's test out now whether we've understood what Peter's saying. This trial we're going through isn't designed to test our faith as a congregation. It's not designed to see whether our faith holds up or not. This testing time is designed to show that all along and underneath is a genuine faith being held by us as the people of God. And so these weeks of trial, God is shining a light to show to ourselves that our faith is real, to show to others that our faith is real, and on the last day to show that our faith as a congregation was real because there it shone during these days of trial. So, of course, on this last day, there will be men and women standing there who've been persecuted and martyred, and they had their goods stolen and their houses taken away. They'll stand there. And they're not going to stand there and be told, oh, you had a wonderful faith that rose to the occasion. Instead, it'll be just like for you and me. These occasions show what's already there, the genuine character of our faith. So I'm going to stop, and I really hope in some way, and we're in God's hands, aren't we, that what I've said to you will stay with you. So let me sum it up. And I know some of you well enough to know that really you'll still carry on thinking in the same way. So come on, one more attempt. Faith. It's not the case then that trials are designed to test faith to see if it's real. God knows it's real because God gave faith to us. It's the gift of God. So faith and trials. We can't say, it's wrong to say, that if only you could have faith, if only you believed a bit more, if only you trusted more deeply, your trials will go away. What we are saying is this. Trials are the best light in which the genuine faith can be seen in its genuineness. So think of Rome. The best view is when you're up there looking down. The best view on your faith, on my faith, on our faith as a congregation, the best light that shows up the faith are trials. And they show up the genuineness of the faith that's already there. And they show it to you, and they show it to others. And it'll be seen for all on the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn.